been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, broadcasting live every Thursday. We're live from studio today from the Woodlands, Texas. This is the show where we interview the best and brightest business owners, entrepreneurs all across the state of Texas about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and creating a successful business. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin, and joining me in the studio today, Ken Lambert with Funeral Negotiators. Ken, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, well, we had a fun little warm-up here before we went live on air, and we're really excited to hear your story, and you have a vast background to share with us today, and tell us about your journey as an entrepreneur, and also in the studio, live today, again, we have the Tom Glover.
Thank you for the thee.
Hey, your stock's up, so you get the thee. Okay. And the lovely Miss Catherine Bates, how
Hello.
Are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on the show.
You're very welcome.
You won't accuse anyone me of bullying you to come on the show?
Ouch.
No?
No.
I see some twisted arm
there.
He's the
bruises, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so we love having Catherine on the show, but we make it optional for her, so I think she must like you, Ken.
What's optional? Come on the show yourself.
Yeah, told you, right. It's your choice. But the Shrimp Tank is the show for entrepreneurs, and we have actually faculty members from the degree program for entrepreneurship at Sam Houston State University that come on and co-host on the show with us. And we're planning an event this fall, and we're going to actually have students and young entrepreneurs. We're going to hear live pitches of new business ideas, and they're going to do it in front of our panel. We'll find out if their business will sink or swim in the tank. So looking forward to that this fall. We have the commercial banking episode that we're broadcasting live from Sam Houston State University campus right here in the Woodlands. So a shout out to our faculty and then our good friend JJ Holly. He's not with us today. Is he not able to be on the show?
No, he's got other commitments.
Other commitments.
He's a busy man. Yes.
He's a busy man. Very so busy. JJ, hey, hope you enjoy the show today. We'll see you next week. But let's get on in and just start, Ken, with your story a little bit. You just kind of tell us now, wait a minute, you're from Louisiana, right?
Well, I'm a Texas transplant to Louisiana, and I grew up in Louisiana and went into the Air Force. I was a 130 pilot and also ended up becoming a mortuary officer. And after I retired, and I've always been an entrepreneur, and after I retired, I went to work for a funeral home. I was going to be an honest funeral salesman. That was not what they were looking for.
That's an oxymoron. Right?
Well, it was amazing. And so I stayed with them about 3 months. And in the next 3 months, I decided I'm going to study them because this is going to come in handy one of these days. And then in 1994, I played customer at 150 funeral homes, put all their prices in a database, saved my first client $9,900.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yep. So in your career, your military mm-hmm. career, mm-hmm. You ended up in the, I guess, the side of that that's maybe unpleasant but necessary. You mm-hmm. know, there's casualties and people are mm-hmm. full-time military career people, they pass away. But all of this converged into a skill set for you that you took into the marketplace as an entrepreneur. And when did you start that as being a funeral negotiator?
Funeral negotiator was 1994.
So, and for our listeners that maybe they're not, you know, what is that? They don't really know what that is. Give us kind of a broad or a simple explanation for someone that has no idea what you do.
Okay, I'm the coach on the family side in the funeral shopping game. Okay, I'm a crisis negotiator. 2 o'clock in the morning, somebody calls me, they've just lost a loved one. I make the funeral homes fight for the opportunity to serve my clients. They fight with quality, they fight with price. And most people have no idea what they're up against, and they don't realize that when you're dealing with a funeral home, you're dealing with a car dealership.
Okay, yes.
Their job is to get you to spend money, and they do a very good job of it.
That is, a little unfortunate mm-hmm. to hear. I mean, because I think that perception maybe is abound that people think of it that way. I honestly, I don't think about mm-hmm. it very much. Tom, what were you?
I was just going to say, when I read your story, I was a little bit surprised. I mean, I've always kind of perceived that you know, when somebody dies, there's a lot of things that just get in the way of making good decisions.
Emotions.
Oh my gosh,
you're at your worst possible state.
But I can, you know, I've got elderly parents and I'm, you know, projecting ahead thinking, I wouldn't care about all that other stuff. I would just want to deal with the family issues of losing loved ones. And I would probably let a funeral director just take me to the cleaners.
They are used to telling you what to do. You're going to do this. You're going to do this, and you're going to. You need to spend this. This is a, you know, this is your loved one we're talking about, you know. And the main thing is, you need to realize, families need to realize that this is a sales game. In fact, they love to recruit from the automotive industry.
It's a Shark Tank.
It is.
And then you know, when they know when there's blood in the water, right? Yeah.
And I can share with you, too. I've tried to kill this business about three times, okay? And each time when I was doing it, I would go out and play customer at funeral homes again, and I'd just be totally amazed at the things that happened
appalled,
to me.
Yeah. How do they receive you as a business? How do funeral homes receive you as a person coming in?
Probably don't like him.
Do they like you? Do they not like you?
They tolerate me. Right. The funeral homes that I refer to that do very, very good work are usually small businesses. Mm-hmm. A lot of your funeral homes are owned by corporations and they have got a skill set of this is what you're supposed to do. You're trained. I tell a story one time called The Aggie and the Funeral Salesman, and it's a joke that kind of promotes, and I take them right down. Here's what happens to you when you go into a funeral home. And, the thing is people do not like to think about death. Okay.
They don't, and they don't plan for it. Right. But then it happens. So, one of the reasons that I invited you to come on the show, or Catherine invited you to come on the show today, is that we saw that you are highly recommended and referred by some high-level and very well-known mm-hmm. elder law care attorneys, mm-hmm. estate planning attorneys, mm-hmm. and even a couple of pastors in our community that have sizable congregations. And I guess that they have an awareness of a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney. These are also people that get calls when someone dies.
Absolutely.
And they become advocates for their clients by actually inserting you in that process mm-hmm. to come alongside the family and to help them not get taken. Is that right?
Well, the main thing is regardless of how much money you have to spend, you want to be a good steward of the resources that have been entrusted to you. Exactly. And that's what I do. Mm-hmm. I make sure that my clients control the sales process and they understand it and they know all of their options, not just what a funeral home wants to volunteer to them. Mm-hmm. What you don't know can cost you tens of thousands of dollars.
And it happens all the time, I'm sure.
So considering that it seems to be the norm that funeral mm-hmm. directors and the whole business is operating like a used car salesman would, I'm surprised there aren't more of you out there. I've never heard of what you do
until you were booked
as a guest on the show. I'd never even heard of a funeral negotiator or somebody that advocates for the families on behalf of...
I'd be one to tell you that I'm probably addicted to entrepreneurship because everybody told me this would not work. From the Better Business Bureau, the SCORE folks, and said, Ken, you can't make a living like this. Go ahead and make it nonprofit. And I said, I don't want to go nonprofit. I want to make sure this works. And it's working.
Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurs don't typically listen to the naysayers. So, hey, I got a couple of cool things to throw out there on the table before we get that deep in your dive. Let me just tell you about a couple of entrepreneurial stories that I came across here that our listeners might find interest in. So there's a mom up in Dallas named Brittany Cobb. She's 32 years old, and she's got this company that is essentially taking the old idea of a flea market, which we think of as kind of yucky, and she has got this upscale, boutique, really cool, shabby chic, swanky Dallas flea market. It's called Dallas Flea. And she gets 10,000 people when she puts that flea market on that show up, pay $5 each, plus all the booth rental, and she's making a killing. And an old idea that she freshened up and rebooted that idea and got it out there in the marketplace. I thought that was pretty cool. And then I was reading about a guy named Matt Felder and Tyler Barstow, and they have this record club, and their vinyl records are making a comeback. And they have 16,000 members in their club, and every week they send it's a record, and it's pressed exclusively for the club. They also get a 12x12 print that's inspired by the album, and they get a cocktail recipe that pairs well with the music. Kind of a Cool. I don't know if any of the ladies do birch.
Nice as a gift. That'd be very good as a gift.
Very cool as a gift, you know. And my wife does this birch box thing where my daughter gave it to her as a gift once a month. My wife gets all these like lotions and, you know, cosmetics and all of this stuff. These
girl stuff.
Girl stuff to try out. I think it's cool. But, you know, new ideas. And you know what? Sometimes the difference of entrepreneurs, they go out and do something that nobody else has seen before. Mm-hmm. And they say it can't be done only because they haven't seen it before. And it makes me think of this guy I read about named Mark Gorlin. And he's got a company. He said he was driving to Alabama from Florida and to pick up some tile for a remodel of his bathroom. And halfway there, they told him the tile was on back order. So he had to turn around and go back home. And he's watching all these cars go by. And an idea popped into his brain that eventually became an app called Roadie. And it connects people that are going places with people who want something taken there. Mm-hmm. And
That's very, I think that's a very good idea.
Yeah, I guess he kind of looked at some of the things that you see.
Take my mother-in-law.
Yeah. Tom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was there a limitation on what he would do?
I don't like you anymore. That's why I don't like you. You're very sweet.
As long as she's not bound in duct tape, okay. And then this...
Well, you gotta package her up.
I'm sure Mr. Langer can help us with that.
So one more before we get into Ken's story. We got a guy that started a company called Metro Miles. So here's what he did. He pulled these groups of drivers that people like my dad. You know, my dad's 80. He goes twice a week to the HEB and maybe once a week to the doctor or whatever like that. Sorry, Dad, if you're listening. But he's just a low-risk driver. And he created an insurance company that pooled these sorts of drivers, and they charge them their premiums by the mile. Mm-hmm. And guess what? These people are low-risk. They don't drive very different than a – you know, like me, I put 35,000 miles on my truck. Every time my family goes somewhere, we go in my truck. I'm a higher risk. I'm on the road more. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, without a avenue like that, that sort of driver just shares my risk and cost.
I sing the drive as well, so.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. Yeah. Oh. My insurance guy might be listening, actually. But his company is called Miles Better Insurance. And that's a new, fresh idea. We're looking for just equipping of entrepreneurs on the show because Ken, you got an interesting story, and then we're gonna dive into that a little bit. And let's go back to that for just a moment. Before we do, let's do a quick reset. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, broadcasting to you live from studio. You can join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. And don't forget, you can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. So we're going to ask you a few more questions, and we'll go to commercial break in just a moment. Maybe start in with you talked about that first client. You saved $9,000. Tell us a little bit about how that worked out.
Well, she was a friend of mine, and went to the funeral home. We negotiated the price. We went to in fact, he was a veteran, and they never volunteered that he was eligible to go to the VA cemetery. She was, too. So that played into a little bit of it. And then we went to a smaller funeral home and also negotiated the price of the casket. And then I did not go with her. This was 2 months before he passed away. And then he ended up passing away. And then I did an invoice review, and there was a $995 vault on the invoice. I said, wait a minute, the VA cemetery provides us at no charge. And worse came to worse, and we finally got him to take the vault off the casket, invoice.
That's awful. I can't imagine people doing stuff like that, but you obviously know that they do.
Yeah.
Well, so that's when I looked some information up about your business.
Okay.
I discovered the 5 horrifying truths about funeral homes. And, you know, I'm not going to go through them all, but...
I want to hear a couple now. You piqued my interest.
Well, you know, the number one thing is it's a business, just as you said.
Absolutely.
And they're in it to make money. And what I was a little bit surprised by is that, you know, there's a lot of things that they won't tell you, like... Yeah. Embalming preserves the body forever. No, it just delays it a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of people don't understand that, and they think they have to buy hermetically sealed caskets and all that, and that might not be true. And then selling keepsakes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I never really realized it was that much of a racket until I did a little research.
Look, there's wonderful people in the funeral business. Don't get me wrong. There's wonderful people that do really try to serve their clients, okay? But at the same time, just like car dealerships. There's wonderful car dealerships. I love Gulo Toyota. I mean, they're honest. I bought several cars from them, and I've shopped other places. And I always go back to Gulo. Same thing with the funeral industry. There's wonderful people in that business, but a lot of them are not. Basically, it's a sales game, and you're paid for performance.
Are there some of them out there that are doing things for people instead of two people that are truly serving them?
Absolutely.
You know,
would that be the smaller ones or the
smaller ones and the larger ones? In fact, if they weren't out there, I wouldn't have anybody to send my clients to.
Yeah. So you got me spooked right now because I'm thinking, well, who am I supposed to talk to? And it sounds like I need to start with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, the criticism I get all the time is, can you give us too much information? Okay. When I'm talking to a family at 2 o'clock in the morning, they've just lost a loved one. They don't want to hear all this stuff. I said, but you do need to hear it. I got to slow you down so you can think, and you need to understand what you're going into. And a lot of people just will not believe it. They just don't believe it's going to happen to them. And my favorite client is the one that calls me from the funeral home. They've bought a $15,000 prepaid funeral. Funeral home tells them, now you're going to owe us another $4,000 at the time of death. I love that client because they call me up. They bought an insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
And we get their funeral for $6,000. They still pay that other $4,000, and we send them a check for about $7,000 from the insurance company. Love that client.
We're going to go to a commercial break. We're going to be back in about 30 seconds with our guest, Ken Lambert. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, broadcasting to you live from studio, the entrepreneur show that brings you the best and brightest all about our city. We'll be right back. In 1994, funeral negotiators saved their first client $9,900. Funeral negotiators recently saved a family over $27,000. One of these days, on the worst day of your life, when your back is against the wall at a funeral home, you'll be very grateful you called funeral negotiators. Without us, you will probably overspend, not by thousands, but tens of thousands of dollars. Check us out at funeralnegotiator.com. And we are back live, Shrimp Tank, broadcasting to you from studio every Thursday at 4 p.m. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin. Joining me in the studio, Tom Glover, Catherine Bates, and our special guest today, Ken Lambert of Funeral Negotiators. And so, Ken, as we jump in here to learn a little bit more about your business, we want to learn more, and our listeners may be an aspiring entrepreneur, mm-hmm. and it may be someone that's got a business that's established and they're looking to go to that next level. So, as it relates to you being an entrepreneur, if we have a listener today and maybe they have an idea, and just like you told people told you, hey, this won't ever work, and you did it anyway, what words of encouragement might you have for a young aspiring entrepreneur that maybe has not found the confidence to jump out and make a go of it on their own yet?
Don't quit. You've got to do. If you believe in what you're doing, you will find a way to make it happen.
Don't quit.
Don't quit.
Keep it going.
And don't throw money at the problem.
Tell us more about that.
A lot of people, well, when I first started, I thought advertising was the way to go, and I threw more money at advertising, and it did not work.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, don't throw money at it that you don't have for to risk. I don't care what type of advertising marketing it is. If you don't have the money to throw it, don't borrow money thinking you're going to get a return. Okay, mm-hmm. You have to be very careful with that. I made all those mistakes.
What kind of advertising did you try, and why didn't it work?
I spent $100,000 my first 4 years in Yellow Page advertising. Almost nothing.
Really?
I had professionals at that time do websites for me.
Okay.
And very little. I had one company that I dealt with, and I got 5,000 hits in four or five cities, and they were bragging about it. I said, hey, I did not get one sale. It's a very difficult business to market, and marketers are scratching their heads with me.
So, it's relationship. It sounds like you're—
Absolutely.
You're, in fact, you know, when we think about that, and we have a wealth management firm here, and mm-hmm. we have families, and, you know, occasionally mm-hmm. somebody passes away, but I want somebody like you in their corner. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to think about connecting you mm-hmm. with that family.
So that's mm-hmm. what I'm struggling with, is that what you're doing is such value add. I don't understand why it isn't being done all over.
Funeral
the place.
Home's not going to tell them about it.
Well, I know. So I'm thinking, well, if I'm looking at the prospect of losing somebody in my family, and I'm on point to make the arrangements, I have to say I wouldn't think to even consider finding somebody like you. I would just call up, you know, whatever funeral mm-hmm. home my friends told me to go to, and I'd let them tell me what to do.
Exactly, and that's exactly what they want you to think. We're here to help you. We're here to talk to you and to help you through this difficult time. At the same time, they will work you over for 4 hours. And so, at the time of death, funeral salespeople are the pros. And quite frankly, the most successful funeral salesperson is not a guy, it's a gal. And they are absolutely ruthless. Mm. They can turn on the tears, and they are very, very good at what they do. I know this because I played customer. I got a guy from the Houston Post a long time ago, went around with me, and I showed up in a Hawaiian shirt, old blue jeans, and didn't shave for 2 days. And he said, "Why are you looking like this?" "I've been up all night taking care of my loved one." And, man, she saw me coming, and I briefed him. I said, "Here's what's coming next. She's going to do this." And the guy finally got through with me. He says, "Ken," he said, "if I hadn't seen it myself, I'd have never believed it." Mm. Because that's what goes on. They are trained.
So they hold your hand. They can hold your hand, shed the crocodile tears, and tell you that, hey, you're really honoring mom this way, and let's go with the super deluxe big kahuna package. And,
it's terrible. It's exploitation. It's bad.
That casket's got to have gold handles or else she won't go to heaven. I mean,
Oh, my God.
But if they can't do it, there's another salesman waiting to take their place. The I Need Sales person, they have to perform.
They push them to upsell all the stuff, you know, the casket with the gold handles.
Even if you, especially if you've got a prepaid funeral plan. You got a prepaid funeral plan, they'll show up. I call them the dirtbag caskets. And they'll show them these. You got a casket up in Dallas, Texas. Least expensive casket, chocolate brown, plastic hardware, looks horrible. You know what they named that casket in Dallas, Texas? It's called the Oswald. Nobody's going to buy, and it's $1,995. Okay,
come on.
Next thing up, Oswald.
That's right. Next thing up is seafoam.
Do you really want to put mom in the Hitler casket? No, I don't think so.
But that's the only two 20 gauge caskets they cover, and 18 gauge they start at about $3,200 to $3,300 a piece. It is absolutely outrageous, and you can spend $100,000 on a casket.
So I want to end the show because my wheels are turning here. What I want to do is I want to take and scale Kenneth's business. It seems to me that
I'm like that. I want to get him
like,
out there.
You know what? Like the guys helping with the Blue Lion Salon. You know, they have a great concept. They've got four locations, and he's taking them to 12. Like in the next 12 months.
I mean,
scale.
Consider how many funeral homes there are. There's probably hundreds of thousands in the continental U.S.
And, there's 1,200 just in Texas.
You know, and Texas is, of course, the center of the universe. But, I mean, this is a big state. I've never heard of anybody doing what you do.
That's a great idea. And so Tom's an entrepreneur, okay? His entrepreneur, bells and whistles
are going
on.
My wheels are going right here.
You know, because if you had a training program to train other, negotiators.
I've been writing it for years.
So really? Actually, that's a I watched your YouTube video, and you do have a commission program, which was very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. It was very generous, and it seems like that would attract a lot of people to try to sell your services. And I'm trying to figure out. I don't know what I'm not getting here, but I don't know why.
It's in its infancy, and the barrier, and quite frankly, the barrier is thinking about death. And think about this. How many people have a will?
You know what? I can answer that question because I've written an article about it. We do articles on these sorts of things because we're a contributor of Fox 26 News, and we write for Montgomery County News. And the estate planning attorneys in this community tell me, and through research around the country, is that 50% of the people right here in the Woodlands do not have a will. And I can tell you, families come in and we talk about financial investment, tax planning. Mm-hmm. One of the early questions is, do you have a will? Mm-hmm. And that's like, we need to get one. We need I'm the one that pushes them into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I'm not shy about doing it anymore because I had a friend and a client, a father of three, 43 years old, and was, alive and vibrant one day, and on a Monday morning, I got a phone call that he wasn't anymore. It was a big shocker. And so after that, I'm not shy at all about telling people, get these things done. But certainly a family in crisis, they're in an emotional state, and if there's, wolves to take advantage of them there, and you can prevent that, that's a great service.
And you have to slow them down so they can think. That's the biggest thing. If I can slow a client down and help them to realize, here's what you're up against. Let's slow down. Mm-hmm. Take your time. I can save them thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. If I can't slow them down, I'm wasting my time and theirs.
Do you have a designated family member that you could deal with? So, if it was my husband, I'd be absolutely distraught. I wouldn't be able to speak to anybody. But in those, if you plan ahead, would you have a designated family member that could speak to you straight away?
Mm-hmm.
you know, like a son or daughter or mm-hmm. whatever. I think it's genius. When you phoned up and you said to me, I haven't got a very good story, I'm like, oh, I don't think so.
I think it's a great story. I think it's in great demand, and that is the obstacle that people don't want to think.
There would be demand if people really understood it and knew about mm-hmm. it. And mm-hmm. I think I've read where it's actually more budget-friendly if they work with you up front and not in the middle of a crisis, right? Yeah. Don't wait. You know, mm-hmm. plan ahead.
That's true. But 80% of my clients call me for the first time at the time. Yeah. Yeah. 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
We need to get you out there, Ken. We need to get you. We need to get you.
So, Ken, could you talk about some of the skills that you think that are good for any entrepreneur to have, and some that you could look back on and say, hey, these are some skills that have certainly helped me in my business?
One of the biggest mistakes I made at first was not, I was so excited about what I was doing. I was so excited about telling people what I was doing. I'd tell them, I can do this for you, and the phone would hang up. You've got to be a good listener. You've got to be able to let mm-hmm. people tell you what they want, regardless of how super your service is or whatever. You've got to be able to listen and let them tell you what they want. And I don't hardly say anything for the first 5 minutes. I let them explode on me. And then I found out that
excellent.
It took me 10 years to learn that.
Yeah, so for entrepreneurs listening out there, listening skills is it's in short supply. Mm-hmm. The best leaders are really good listeners, whether mm-hmm. it's a Fortune 50 company or a small operation.
I mm-hmm. couldn't agree more. And if you hear some dead air and silence here on the show, I just want you to know that I'm listening.
You're listening.
I'm here.
That
I'm,
makes a change,
I'm listening.
Dan.
But no, I completely believe. And right now, it's time for our listeners to listen to another commercial break. We're going to be back in about 30 seconds with our guest, Ken Lambert. And we're on the Shrimp Tank broadcasting live from studio. We'll be right back.
Investing for retirement, been on your to-do list for far too long, then look no further than right here in the Woodlands with the coaches of Provident Wealth Advisors. Don't put planning for your future off any longer. Get started today. Call 281-466-4843 or visit us on the web at www.providentwealthllc.com.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Provident Wealth Advisors, a registered investment advisor in the state of Texas, and insurance products and services are offered through Goodwin Financial Group. Provident Wealth Advisors and Goodwin Financial Group are affiliated companies. And we are back, round in the corner. Producer says we're on the back half of the show. We need to kick it up. So, Ken, you're a small business owner. You're an entrepreneur. You're out there helping families, doing things for people, not to people. But you're also, as a small business owner, you're the president, vice president, you're the secretary, treasurer, you're work on your own quite a bit as an independent consultant.
I'm the marketer too.
You're the marketing guy too. So how do you stay motivated through that? You know, how do you keep yourself up and going and focused?
Well, I'm an early riser. I get up 3 o'clock in the morning, hit the gym, swim. I'm up to 24 laps again. And then I plan my day.
He doesn't want to die.
That's true.
He doesn't want to get ripped off.
One of my biggest fears is dying before I can get this thing where it works without me. I do want to grow this business. And that's what I'm afraid. I'm going to run out of steam before I can get it get it worked
scaled.
Out.
Scaled. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you have a succession plan or a successor?
I don't have anybody in the family that wants to do this. Yeah. That's the problem. I've got about 7 or 8 funeral directors and counselors that do want to go to work for me as soon as we can get the business volume mm-hmm. going. So I've got people that want to do this and believe in it.
Counselors are good ideas, aren't they? Because that's obviously your forte.
Absolutely.
Well.
You've got to be able to listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you started this off, did you have a business plan?
Yes, and it changes probably every month. One thing I would talk about with marketers, if you're a marketer yourself, I'm constantly doing marketing plans. But my weak area, and I'll be straightforward about it, is implementing the plan. When you start a marketing plan, you've got to implement it, you've got to do it, and you've got to keep it going. You've got to stay with it. You can't just keep changing from one thing to another. You've got to figure out what you need to do.
Consistency.
And you got to stay with it.
See, my thing with marketing, I'm not really into this marketing, sending out flyers, and I'm not good with that. My best thing is get out there, get in your car and speak to people.
Absolutely.
Speak to anybody.
Relationships.
Speak to anybody. Networking, anybody. And there's enough of that that goes on.
In the line at Walmart, I'll be talking to a client, and my kids would be with me. When first started this, oh, man, Dad, don't talk so loud. But they started realizing that I'd be talking to a client on the phone in Walmart. And
you know, they heard me talking. Cost you a penny. Yeah. Cost you nothing.
Catherine's making a great point. Yesterday, I was at the gym, a new gym I started working at called Life Fit, and they're new in the Woodlands. It's kind of a CrossFit concept. But it's called Life Fit, and one of the young guys there, his name's Davis. He may be listening to the show, but Davis I was asking him about some of his marketing efforts, and he said that, well, he's sending out a bunch of, you know, flyers and things like that, and e-blast and all that. And I said, in my humble opinion, okay, getting on your horse and riding and wearing out a little shoe leather and going talking to some people, you go talk to one guy, that's better, or one lady or one business owner, that's better than sending out 10,000 flyers.
It's not just going around knocking people's doors when they don't want to hear. It's doing a bit of homework and working out your market and where they are, and going to groups and speaking to people that you know would be interested in what you're doing. And there is so many in the Woodlands. So many of them.
So what we're talking about is actually a very common gap with a lot of companies, big or small.
What's your area, Tom?
A lot of my clients provide technical services. And just today, I got on my soapbox during a conference call about account management, and it was all about relationship management. Mm-hmm. You've got to meet your clients. You've got to build trust, become a trusted advisor. And in your
belly to belly.
Yeah, yep, and in your absolutely. Business, I mean, you're almost half counselor, half business person, right? You have to be a counselor, I would think, in a lot of ways, or have the same skills.
Yes, and also get involved in a chamber of commerce.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There are more entrepreneurs.
Are you in our chamber?
Yeah.
Good.
There are more entrepreneurs in the chamber of commerce, and you can shake a stick at. I mean, they're absolutely fabulous, and I'm just talking to them. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, where we interview Houston's best and brightest entrepreneurs. We're here in the studio today with Ken Lambert. And always don't forget, you're going to be able to download this complete show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. And we're going to go to a short commercial break. We've got one more, and then we've got a couple of other things to ask you about today, Ken. According to a recent Forbes business article, 9 out of 10 business owners are overpaying their taxes. Contact the team at Provident and Financial Gravity to explore how you can pay only what you are legally, morally, and ethically required to pay. After a simple 15 to 30 minute no obligation assessment, we will determine if we can substantially reduce your tax burden. If so, we'll develop a tax savings plan utilizing our exclusive tax blueprint. Visit us online at www.providentwealthllc.com. And we are back in the studio in the Shrimp Tank. You can hear us live every Thursday. We're with our guest, Ken Lambert. Don't forget, you're going to be able to download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. So, Ken, getting into a little bit more about your personal story, and we talked about marketing and work ethic seems to be a very strong precept or core value of yours that maybe started the military or even before the military.
Well, could you getting up at 3 a.m?
Yeah,
like, I'm out.
What's up with that? You know, you're making me feel like a 90-pound weakling.
When do you go to bed? What time do you go to bed?
Well, I try to get in bed by 8, but sometimes it's 11. Today I had 8 hours of sleep. That's rare. Okay, yeah. So I wanted to be ready for this.
That's another entrepreneur trait. They don't sleep. They don't sleep at all.
How about any particular story that you can think of? It's a funny story or a scary story since you opened your business.
Oh, golly.
Not a lot of humor in this.
One of the things that really surprised me was when I would go to speak to folks. I mean, I was always nervous because I'm not a funeral director. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was always worried about upsetting somebody in the audience because I did a lot of live audience interaction. Mm-hmm. Okay, and people would raise, and I could see that they were getting irritated, and I kept thinking, oh my, I hope I'm not saying something that's offending them. But every time, without fail, they'd raise their hands. I had one lady. Everything this guy's saying happened to me, you know? And they're mad. They're really angry, especially
that's if validation.
The
that's
process.
A lot of validation for you and your service, and then the support and the help you give families.
That was a surprise, though. I figured that it was going to be difficult because again, I mean, I've always got three fingers pointing. I'm pointing a finger a lot of times at somebody in the funeral industry, the things that are going on that I don't like. Uh-huh. But I've got to make sure I'm very much above reproach because I'm not a licensed counselor. Mm-hmm. I'm not a licensed funeral home or a funeral director. I'm a guy that said somebody's got to do this, and I talk on the phone.
Have you ever had That's customers like hold you accountable for something that didn't go right, or did they point the finger at you?
I did have one family that called me up, and she was chewing me out royally because of a funeral home that she went to that I had recommended before for a specific type of service. They were very good at cremations, but they weren't good at full funerals. And then in the process, I realized she was chewing me out, but I had not recommended her for the funeral, and I would not have in that situation. And so she was chewing me out for some mistake that she made, but she was trying to blame me for it.
Right.
And that was kind of a scary situation. Yeah. But you're always afraid you're going to make a mistake.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I noticed when I was looking up your website and on your YouTube video is that your approach, you're very faith-centered. Mm-hmm. So how do you handle non-Christian or agnostic customers?
Well, first of all, I'm a firm believer. I'm Southern Baptist, I help all families, okay, whether they're Christian or not. Yes, I will share the gospel with them. I always tell folks, how do you want to spend eternity? You want smoking or non-smoking? You know? and that gets everybody laughing. But the point is, the problem with death is the reason we get ripped off by the funeral industry is because we don't like to think about death. And I hate to tell folks, it's the number one reason that most Americans are not going to, when they pass away, they're not going to go to a happy place. Mm-hmm. It's very real.
It's an opportunity to comfort someone and share a.
And like, when I'm told to shut up, I will. Yeah. But I'm not in your face. But there is a big sign over the entrance to hell that says it doesn't matter what you believe here, whatever works for you.
But that's the that's the beauty about Christianity to me.
Absolutely.
That's the difference. Just in those lines that you just said.
But I do help all families. I do help Muslim families, but most of the time, the Muslim families, I send them to the Islamic Society because they've got a very good system of taking care of their folks.
Yeah, yeah.
They do things differently.
You have to be buried within 24 hours if you're Muslim. Yeah.
One thing about the shrimp tank, we're not afraid to talk about God or politics or sports or whatever, right?
About death, right?
Yeah, right. Hey, we don't discriminate. Right. We go everywhere. Y'all want to talk about Black Lives Matter or whatever? Yeah. We're controversial. No, so listen, this has been a great conversation. And Ken, thank you so much for the insights.
Thank you.
I want to say that, if you're listening and, death is just a part of life, and that if you're facing some event, then you're going to want to get in touch with Ken. In just a moment, we'll give you a chance to give how someone would reach out to you.
Or in touch with us here at Providence, and we can recommend you straight away.
Yeah, sure. But I feel like as an advisor that I would want to have the relationship with you to be able to help bring you alongside one of my families to help them in a difficult time.
Because we love our clients.
Because we love them. Yeah, and you know what?
We want them to be cared for.
And we want somebody to advocate for them and to protect them and guide them through a difficult time. And I did not know before meeting you that such advocacy exists and that you as an entrepreneur have packaged it into a service. And, maybe who knows with Tom's a scale, Tom may connect with you later and have some great ideas about how you could launch this across the country. So, you can join us again next Thursday at 4 p.m. Are we going to be next Thursday at the Saddle Ridge Gun Range, Catherine?
Yes.
Yeah,
we're
shooting guns, and next week we're shooting guns, and we're podcasting.
Catherine's evil, your evil side's coming.
I just like shooting things.
This is a scary
side. So we're going to keep you pointed and have a couple of armed guards around you, but next week we'll be podcasting and firing live ammo at Saddle Ridge Gun Range with Tom Balch. He's the owner, proprietor of that business out on 1488. We're excited about that. This was a great conversation today with Ken Lambert, and we want to thank you for coming in the studio and being our special guest today, Ken. and tell our listeners, give listeners the best phone number to reach you, website, and any other details, contact details that would be helpful for someone to learn more about you and funeral negotiators.
Okay, real simple. Give me a call at 281-357-0195 or funeralnegotiator.com on the web.
Funeral negotiator, not S on the end.
Either one.
All right. Super duper. And you've been listening to The Shrimp Tank, where we help turn the dreams of young entrepreneurs across the state of Texas into reality. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin, saying thanks to Tom Glover for being on the show and for Ken Lambert and Catherine Bates. We'll see you here next week.
Welcome to The Shrimp Tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front I'm a leader. The charge like a federal fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank, big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.